And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is change. Each of my guests hopes to change something, an industry, your mind, or your behavior. My first guest wants to turn the publishing industry on its head. We discussed his new publishing paradigm, Wubbit.com. My second guest is out to change your mind. He's a message consultant for some of the highest profile cases in America. He showed us the 27 powers of persuasion to seduce audiences and win allies. My next guest has developed a system to achieve maximum results in a short amount of time. He recognized that year-long goals had too long a time horizon to be consistently successful, especially in our attention deficit society. So he shows us how to get a year's worth of results in just 3 months from his latest book, The 12-Week Year. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Brian Moran has a lofty goal. He's out to positively impact 1 million people with his message. Brian's the president and the CEO at Strategic Breakthroughs. He's a visionary and strategic thinker with over 30 years' expertise as a corporate executive, an entrepreneur, consultant, and coach. Brian has a unique combination of experience and insight to help anyone make quantum leaps in their performance. Brian's breakthrough approach recognizes that most people don't lack for ideas. Instead, they struggle with effective implementation that led to the development of his two books, Periodization and the one that we'll talk about today, The 12-Week Year. Brian is married to Judy. They have two daughters, and they live in East Lansing, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Brian. Brian, how are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest, coming all the way from East Lansing, Michigan. Now, you've taken a unique approach to time management. I haven't seen this from other guests in the past. You've looked at the year-end productivity, and you've sort of applied that year-end productivity year-round. So why is it that we seem to get so much done at the end of the year, and so much more so than, say, in June or July?
Yeah, it's a great question. We ask that of our clients. You know, the answer we get is, well, of course, there's a deadline. There's and for most folks, it's, you know, December 31st, kind of a point at which they're going to measure their success or failure. They're going to take stock of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as that deadline draws nearer, we tend to act with more urgency. So, you know, you'll see people behaving differently in November and December than they do July and August. And the reason is because of the deadline and the notion that, hey, time is running out. And as we sense that, we tend to focus on the things that really matter most and the things that produce the greatest results for us. And because of that, we get different results.
All right. Well, it's a unique perspective to it. But most organizations, most big companies, most nonprofit organizations, while they do work on a 52-week calendar, they break things down into monthly and also into quarterly goals as well. Doesn't that apply and give you that same sense of urgency that year-end deadlines give you?
You know, you think it would, but it doesn't. Because for years, we worked with our clients that way as well. I mean, we had annual goals, broke them down quarterly, monthly, weekly, and plans as well. But they're still in the context of a 12-month year. And so what happens is there's just this illusion that there's lots of time. So if I don't hit the goal by the end of March, people inherently know that they've got three more quarters to catch up. And if I'm behind in June, you know, no one's happy with that, but there's still this notion that, hey, I still have time to catch up. And it's that mindset, that thinking, if you will, that gets in the way of us being as productive as we could be. So with the 12-week year, the 12 weeks is the year. There's not four of them in the year. That is the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get out of that annualized thinking, because it's that annualized thinking that really creates the lack of urgency and the unproductive actions that lead us. You know, we can still be successful. It's just we're not as efficient, as effective, and as successful as we could be. And so, you know, even operating in quarters, it's still in the context of a 12-month year. We know inherently there's four of those in the year. And so back in our mind, there's this notion that we can catch up, and so people behave accordingly.
All right. So we're talking to Brian Moran, author of the book, The 12-Week Year. Why 12 weeks, Brian? I mean, you know, why not 13? Why not another number? Why 12 weeks?
Great question. A couple things. You know, first thing is periodization was an athletic training technique, and that's what we looked at and really adapted for business and for people in their personal lives. And, you know, 12 weeks we experimented with different time frames. 12 weeks is a long enough time to make significant progress if you're really focused day in and day out. And yet it's also near enough that you don't lose sight of the deadline. In athletics, you know, when they apply periodization, it's usually in a 4 to 6 week cycle. And largely because, you know, an athletic event or endeavor, you know, physically you can burn out. But what we found is that, you know, it's amazing what you can get done in 12 weeks. But even in week one, you know that you don't have a lot of time. So that, you know, that illusion of lots of time is burst immediately. And you recognize that, hey, if I'm going to have a great 12-week year, this week counts, this day counts. And ultimately, that's where greatness is created. It's not created monthly and quarterly and semi-annually. It's created really moment by moment. And so helping people come to grips with that and confront that, and 12 weeks seems to be the time frame that balances enough time to make significant progress and yet near enough to create a sense of urgency.
All right, we're talking to Brian Moran. And Brian, I like what you had to say, that life happens in the moment, as the expression goes. So talk to us about what you call in the book the law of intentionality.
Okay, intentionality is just the notion of, if you will, being intentional about what you engage with, what you say yes to, what you say no to. And so often for a lot of folks, you know, the day works them.
So true.
We've all had those days when you start your day out with big aspirations. You're going to get a lot done, and you get to the end of the day and you look back and all you did was deal with everybody else's stuff. And so intentionality is really being clear on what matters most and working on those things day in and day out. So a typical example, you know, I've got some things at business, in my business, that matter most, and yet I could be, my day could just be eaten up with phone calls and interruptions and emails and all this other stuff if I let it. I also have things at home that matter most and in my personal life that, you know, I might never get to if I'm not intentional about it. And what we've seen too often, people manage their time a lot like they save. You know, if they wait till the end of the month, if there's any money left over, they save. And usually people, when they save using that strategy, don't save very well. And it's kind of like that. They use their time and they hope that at the end of the day or the end of the week, there's time to work on the strategic, the things that matter most. And typically there's not. So intentionality is the notion that we're going to start with what matters most and then kind of let the other stuff fill in around it so that what doesn't get done is the low-level stuff, maybe urgent, but it's not really important.
All right, so I like that. Focus on one thing at a time, then move on to the next one. That's very sound thinking. So give us some other tips for eliminating distractions and maintaining focus.
You know, I think when you talk about maintaining focus, the reality is we're always in a constant state of losing focus. And I think that the trick there, or the tip, is to get good at coming back. You know, you're going to lose focus. You're going to get interrupted. The real skill is to get good at coming back, be able to come back quickly, be able to come back effectively. And otherwise, you can get, if you just try and stay focused all the time, you can get frustrated with that because there are going to be interruptions. So one is get good at coming back. The other thing that from a technique standpoint is to really block out times during the week where you're going to work on certain things. So we have what we call a strategic block, which is a 3-hour block of time where I turn off the emails and the phones and make sure there's no one coming in my office, and I focus on, in my business, the things that matter most, not the things that are urgent. They're not the emails. They're not the phone calls. It's the things that I'm working on for the future of my business that probably have no payoff today, but if I don't do them, there never is a payoff. And then I also block out time to answer email and voicemail. Rather than dealing with it as it comes in, I'm gonna block out times during the day when I know I can be efficient with it. So, you know, if you ring my office, my voicemail or my assistant says, hey, Brian typically returns calls between 11 and 12 and 4 and 5, what works?
Mm-hmm.
And more of those phone calls that I can put into those time slots, the more I can be on purpose the rest of the day.
All right, that makes sense. I like that. We're talking to Brian Moran, everybody, author of the book, The 12-Week Year. Now, Brian, I'm going to change gears for you here in just a minute and ask you about the real world, what's going on out there today. In this economy where everybody is asked to do more with less, how can you impose this 12-week year scenario, especially when people are probably doubling up on job responsibilities and they're just learning some new responsibilities that they've expanded from others?
Yeah, I think what you'll find is a 12-week year is almost refreshing in that sense, in that what we'll ask you to do as part of the 12-week year is get clear on what it is you want to accomplish first, because that's the starting point, right? What's the vision? What do you want to make happen in your life, in your work? What are the things that matter most? And then identify the activities or what we call tactics that are going to drive that. Because it's one thing to be clear on what I want. It's a whole other thing to be clear on the things I need to do to get that. Because I would assert that you have greater control over your actions than you do your outcomes. Your outcomes are driven by your actions. So we need to be clear on what are the actions I need to take. And just gaining clarity around that for most folks is pretty liberating, because it sorts out automatically, allows me to be more intentional, because now I know what activities are key and everything else isn't. And so especially in an environment where there's so much going on and I might be working a couple different roles or jobs, as you say, I need to be clear on that, because without that, I'm just going to go home exhausted every day. And looking back, you know, I don't know if I worked on the critical stuff or worked on the low-level stuff. All I know is I'm exhausted. I need to be clear about what matters most and then begin to structure my time around that so that the time I spend in a particular role, I'm effective. I'm at my best. And when we do that, what happens is it actually becomes very empowering and rather liberating, as opposed to it's really an effective way to deal with multiple roles and different responsibilities and a lot of moving parts.
All right. We're talking to Brian Moran, everybody. And Brian, talk to me about accountability. Let's say I pick up your book, The 12-Week Year. I read it. I like what's in it. And I want to start implementing what's there. However, I work in a company that's still working on the old 52-week year. Isn't there going to be some disconnect between and some negative impacts of my working on a 12-week cycle and they're working on a 52-week cycle?
There can be, but typically we haven't found that, because what happens is if you're really accomplishing every 12 weeks, you know, the annual stuff takes care of itself. So most environments we go into, there's aspects of that environment that never change. I mean, they remain annualized. But as far as it relates to me and how I work, I can periodize my business. I can periodize my life, because all it means is I'm focusing in. I'm focusing in for a period of time. If you think about the way most organizations plan, it's an annual event. Well, with the rapid pace of change, that doesn't cut it anymore. Planning needs to be an ongoing process. And so with the 12-week year, what you're doing is you would probably still in an environment that's annualized, set annualized goals. But then I'm going to bring it down to 12 weeks and say, okay, where do I need to be at the end of March? You know, forget about April, that's next year. And then I build my plan very focused in a few key areas to drive what it is I need to achieve over the next 12 weeks. At the end of those 12 weeks, I'm going to stop the world again, and I'm going to assess, you know, how did I do? What worked? What didn't work? Where were my assumptions on? Where were they off? What shifted in the marketplace? And now I'm going to lock and load again for the next 12 weeks. So even in an organization that's annualized, I can still periodize that. I can still work off a 12-week set of goals and a 12-week plan, and I'll be much more effective because I'm going to be more focused and more consistent around the things that matter most.
All right. We're talking to Brian Moran. We're talking about his book, The 12-Week Year. Brian, there are a lot of productivity books that are out there. In fact, we have several productivity gurus that live in Ventura County themselves. What makes your book, The 12-Week Year, different from those others?
You know, I'd have to address probably each one individually, but I'd say in general, the thing that's different about what we do is we looked at what does it take to be great, and in the end, we found that it wasn't knowledge. You know, we all know people that have a lot of knowledge or really bright doesn't necessarily make them great. It wasn't ideas and strategies, because, you know, there's some great ideas out there that people know about. They still don't act on them. It came down to execution. You know, the knowledge is only powerful if you act on it, and great ideas are worthless unless they're implemented. So everything we do is designed to help you execute and execute consistently day in and day out. And so the 12-week year is just a framework that applies the fundamentals of high performance, you know, the things that you're familiar with, the things, though, that as you apply them more consistently have a profound impact on your results in your business and your personal life. And then it does that in the context of a 12-week year where there's a sense of urgency that just doesn't exist in any other system.
Got it.
So it allows you to be great in the moment, moment by moment.
All right. We've been talking to Brian Moran, everybody, author of the book, The 12-Week Year. Brian, if people are listening to the sound of your voice, they like what they hear, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
12weekyear.com, the number 12weekyear.com.
The numeral 12weekyear.com. Brian, it has been a delight having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your Friday to be part of our Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
My pleasure, Bill. Thanks.
We'll talk to you down the road.